Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm awfully glad Jim Ballard's here, ladies and gentlemen. Jim's an old friend, a longtime member of our Brain Trust, the author of I don't know how many books, dozens of books. What's the Rush is one of my favorite. Well Done is another one he co-wrote with Ken Blanchard. Mind Like Water may be the most It's just a wonderful book, Keeping Your Balance in a Chaotic World, Mind Like Water by Jim Ballard, and so many more. The most important thing of all this, though, folks, is he's our good friend. Jim, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. I'm glad to be your friend.
Well, I'm glad you are my friend. I'm glad to be your friend, and it's one of the blessings in my life, Jim.
We're going to talk about friendship in a way this morning, aren't we?
Let's do it.
Well, you know, so often when you and I talk, the theme is about how small business owners or managers or leaders relate to the people that work for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I've gotten a real kick out of a project that I've been working on lately that has to do with a new book. And it's not my book, but I'm still going to sort of give it a plug here because it's a fun book to read. It's called Our Iceberg is Melting. It's by John Cotter, who's a guy, a professor at Harvard, who's very well known for his books like The Leading Change and The Heart of Change. So what he's done is take the principles of change and put them into a little parable about penguins. And it's very, very engaging. And, in fact, I've been engaged to create a training to go along with it.
Wow, congratulations.
A seminar, yeah. So we're working it out. And so much of it is showing me how much of business runs on feeling, on emotion. And we don't often acknowledge that. We sort of think it's all about reason and logic.
Mm-hmm.
But very often, for instance, the buying decisions that people make, good salesmen, good motivational speakers know that that while people think that they use logic to make buying decisions, it's really their emotions and their feeling that are appealed to. Because, you know, when you buy a new car, you think it's all, maybe you can convince yourself that it's about mileage and, you know, the practical concerns and the good things about the car. But it's
we call that
how
just
it feels
Jim, we
drive
call that,
it and
Jim,
like
we call
the
that,
color of it and what it looks like to other people when you're driving it, you know, what it says about you. So automakers appeal to that all the time. We know that.
Well, we call that justification, Jim, when we talk about the mileage and things like that.
See, it takes a sales guy like you to know what it's called. But, Jim, there's a place in this story. It's about this little penguin named Fred who discovers some fissures or some cracks in the iceberg that the penguin colony has been living on for centuries, you know. And he doesn't know how to bring it up to people because he's just a little guy. And so he gets befriended by Alice, who's a member of the council. And she's known for getting things done, so she brings him before the group. And they have a hard time because there's a penguin named Nono who always is against things, you know. Always
I know that penguin.
You know that penguin,
yeah,
right?
I know that penguin.
Everybody will know Nono. And but anyway, Louis, who is the, or Louis, I'm not sure, who is the head penguin, is a pretty smart guy. And he makes a speech when everybody is scared and they're doubting about whether they should do anything about this. You know, ultimately they're going to move, but, you know, they know this is a big deal for the penguins. And so Louis gives this speech, and he bases the speech on who we are. You know, what we as penguins are known for, you know. And then at the end he says, what does this have to do with a piece of ice? And they all look at each other, and he's made his point because he's appealed to their emotions, their sense of pride, and so on. So that is what I think, well, I think you do that, Jim. You know, you're not my boss, but you are in a way because you manage this program. You have to see that everything on it works and so on. And I often feel how I feel, I often think about how I feel treated by you and what a great example it is for, it would be for people in a shop who have a boss that would be like you. In other words, I feel a lot of trust from you. You always are ready to go with what ideas that I want, and you back me up in things. You make me look good. You make me feel good. And I didn't mean to shine you on too much in front of your listeners.
But, I'm not going to stop you.
But that is why I always look forward to being on this show, because I come away feeling having been treated so well. And, I haven't been letting you get in here very
well.
Much,
I appreciate it. I appreciate your comments, Jim, very much. And of course, the thing that I not having thought about it all that much, what you just said, is just that if I could go back and think about why would I make you feel that way? I just value your time and your contribution, and I think isn't that really at the heart of what you talk about and what you're talking about now is valuing other people. Isn't valuing other human beings an awfully important part of why we're here on Earth?
They're coming to work for you every day, right, Jim?
That's right.
They're coming to do a good job for you. And so often managers or directors or business owners kind of get under the gun so much, and they're running around, not trusting people, saying it feels to the people who work for them like they're looking over their shoulder all the time, and maybe they even embarrass them in front of customers. Sometimes we do those terrible things. We don't mean to do it, but it's pressure, you know. And we forget that these are the people that are there to make us look good.
Well, one of the things that happens, Jim, and we can get into this a little bit on the other side of the break, is I think the size of the business has a lot to do with what you're talking about, because the larger the business, the more they have these walls that they put up and these little tracks, they lay these tracks down that you're supposed to run on these tracks. You're not supposed to wander off these tracks or get outside of the walls. You're not supposed to do any of that.
Yeah.
And I think that affects the way people treat each other, the way they think about themselves. It impacts their happiness. And we don't have those tracks so much in small business. And let's talk about the difference when we come back. And Jim's got some other really smart things to tell us right after these messages. It's 20 after. I'm Jim Blassingame. We're visiting with Jim Ballard. Stay with us. We're back. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Jim Ballard. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're looking for What's the Rush, if you find that book, or if you're looking for that book, the name on that book is actually James Ballard. But on the other ones that I have, it says Jim Ballard. And Jim, the books are available wherever books are sold, aren't they?
Yes, and I guess as we went along, I felt like I needed to be a little less formal, Jim.
Well, I think that's a good idea. Jim, we're talking about the role of emotions in business. And I was just saying that I think small business owners are fairly emotional because we don't have all the tracks to run on that the big businesses do. I've often said that big business is where creativity goes to die.
Yes.
Because they have so many tracks. And if you can't be creative, it's hard to be emotional. It's hard to bring the emotions into play when you can't be creative, isn't it?
Well, when we get back to small business owners, a lot of times they, and you and I have talked about this before too, about how you feel like you've got to do everything. That, you started from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
You've always done it all. And sometimes it's kind of hard to give up the place of idea maker, idea mm-hmm. holder. And yet, if you stop and think about it, the people who have the ideas for how the operation can be improved, and customer service and all are those who are closest to the action. And those are the people who work for you. And a lot of times they're not consulted about how to change things or improve things. And when they are, I heard a story, you've heard these kinds of stories too, about, and this was a large plant that the owner or the general manager would come down on the floor once a month and he'd go around and talk to everybody. And he kept a little notebook, and people, after a while, first they thought he was crazy, after a while they looked forward to him coming. And what he said was, tell me three things that I'm doing right and three things I'm doing wrong or that aren't going well around here. And he would write them down. And then what happened next was the most important, was that people would see changes come as a result of what they told him. And what they found, what he found, was that after they trusted that he really trusted their ideas and wanted their suggestions, the quality and the number of the suggestions went up. Everybody wanted to get their ideas in there, and he didn't use them all. You don't have to feel like you have to use. But people felt important in that shop. You know, they'd never worked for any place where you could make a suggestion, you were listened to, and you, maybe you got to change the way business was done.
Well, at least you felt like that if you could at least get it. Sometimes people just want to get it out of their brain, off their chest. I mean, maybe
that's right.
Sometimes they, you know, here's the other thing about what you're talking about, Jim. Sometimes employees know that the idea that they have is not how it's going to be used, but they also know that they've got an angle on the issue that could contribute to what they wind up doing. And so if they could just get it off their chest, it could become an ingredient in this cake that we're baking. Not all the ingredients, just an ingredient.
Right. People want to have a say so in decisions that affect the way they do their work and their environment. And when they have that say so, they feel important. Even if it isn't used, they've been consulted. You know, that's what you're saying.
Well, and Jim, the my generational experts in our brain trust tell us that's the only way you're going to be successful in the future with the younger generations, because they're not like you and I were, Jim, when we were coming up as young pups, where we sort of snapped our heels together and said, you know, saluted and said, yes, sir, no, sir. You know, these young people, they don't take orders like that.
They don't do that.
Mm-mm.
Right.
They want to collaborate, and they want you to let them collaborate with you.
And you know, sometimes it's the hardest thing to change your own. It's humiliating as an owner or the boss to change yourself and humble yourself to take another person's ideas or even to go along with the way that you're saying that the younger generation is. It isn't them that is going to change, it's you, but it doesn't mean that you won't in the end win them back when you change.
One of the things, just to put a little practical spin on what you're talking about, Jim, one of the things that needs to happen in a lot of small businesses that doesn't happen that much in a lot of small business is actually sitting down and have meetings with your people.
Yes.
A lot of small businesses never sit down with everybody together and have a meeting and talk about stuff. It doesn't happen as much as it should, Jim.
It's amazing. It isn't just for the folks that you sit down with. It's amazing how much you learn when you do that.
Jim, your new book, Little Wave, Old Swell.
Yeah.
Is that out now?
No, it won't be out till June of next year.
June of next year? I can't wait that long, Jim.
It got delayed, Jim.
We'll
launch that on your show.
We'll look for it when it happens, but you can get What's the Rush? You can get Mind Like Water, and I certainly encourage you to check those out, folks. Jim Ballard with two L's, or James Ballard, depending on which book it is. Hey, Jim, you're the best. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Jim.
Jim Ballard, ladies and gentlemen. He'll be back, I promise. And Ray Keating will be with me on the other side of the news. I'm Jim Blassingame. It's 29 After. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
I don't want anything since I don't have you.
In spare Charity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.